Amen. Thank you, Daniel, very much. If you're new to the tab, what we tend to do at the start of the year is take just one or two verses, and we have a nice card for them. This was made by Ellie, so I hope you'll take those away and stick those up at home. We try to learn it. We test each other on it each week, and if you don't manage to learn it, then we'll kick you out. That's a joke. The main thing is we're trying to live by this verse for the year. And here's our verse for 2024, 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Hence my title for this sermon, A Healthy Craving for a New Year. Now, usually at the New Year, what we try to do is we give up unhealthy cravings, don't we? I'm going to stop drinking too much. I'm going to eat fewer chocolates. I'm going to do less binge watching of Netflix. We try to give up unhealthy cravings, but God is calling us to take on a healthy craving. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. I've got a little nephew called Lenny. Here's just a very quick clip of him with a bottle of milk. That's awesome, isn't it? Look how quick he is. Babies love milk. Day or night, every few hours, yes, Laura, you're going to be being woken up in the middle of the night. They cry for milk. They have to have it. You can try to distract them by reading to them or rocking them or singing to them, but they crave milk. They will have their milk more than anything. And God says that we can learn from that. We can learn from that. Just as we have physical needs for rest and company and the right food, the right exercise, so we each one of us have spiritual needs that are just as real, but we quite often neglect those. And I guess we're here today because we know that. We know we're more than just physical machines. We know that we have spiritual needs, a soul that needs the love of God, that needs meaning and eternal life and forgiveness, that needs above all God himself. And for those spiritual needs, you can see there is spiritual milk. Crave pure spiritual milk. Well, I want to ask three questions about that verse there for us. And first, what is the milk? Second, why must we crave it? And third, how can we drink daily? What is the milk? Why must we crave it? And how can we drink daily? What, why, how? Let's take the first question, shall we? What is this pure milk? And look, whenever you come to something you're not quite sure of in the Bible, remember that the Bible explains itself. God isn't trying to be tricky with us. He explains himself. And so what is the milk? Well, let's read the section just before this, shall we? Chapter 1, verse 23. Chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again. That's what it means to become a Christian, to be given a brand new life from God. How does that happen? Not of perishable things, in other words, anything human, but of imperishable, a supernatural seed which comes through the word, the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. That's our lives, isn't it? We wither. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. What do you think the milk is? The word of God. So here we are. That's what you can put on the front of your Bibles. The Bible is milk for us. And we know that from elsewhere as well. God wants us to crave the Bible. Like a baby, like Lenny, that we want to drink deeply and often. It is our spiritual milk. And so we come to church or to a small group, yes, craving to see each other. I hope you do want to see each other. Wanting to sing and to pray, but also wanting this. So in the little series coming up in Hosea, we've got some quite long readings, but we're not going to be sitting there thinking, oh, gosh, I can't wait till that's over. We're trying not to be distracted by our phones, or I sometimes find myself distracted by a little baby. We're trying not to. We're trying to focus. If we're missing a Sunday, we're catching up online. If we struggle to concentrate, and some of us just really struggle with reading, and we find this stuff hard, I understand that. But maybe we bring along a notebook and a pen and we scribble notes, or we colour in and we draw pictures, or anything at all that helps us to focus in here, because we're hungry for this. We crave pure spiritual milk. Now, some Christians say, I'm a practical kind of Christian. I just like to serve. Put me on a rota. Or I'm more of a worshipping Christian. I just want to sing. God knows we're all made differently, and praise God that he has made us differently. But 1 Peter 2:2, can you see that? It's for all of us, isn't it? You can't give out unless you're taking in. Or maybe there's someone who says, well, I used to do my daily readings. But, you know, I've read it through. I've looked at Hosea before. I've done this. Well, Peter is writing not to baby Christians. He's writing to fairly mature folk. And he says, crave. Find a new craving for this pure spiritual milk. Now, it needs to be pure. There was some false teaching going around in Peter's churches. Some dodgy, gone-off milk. I've got some gone-off milk here. Let me just pour a bit out for you. I wonder if anyone in the band would like. It's kind of got little lumps in it. Does anyone want to try that? That is gross. It's been sitting in my study for the week. I quite like watching the little bits of mold growing in it and that sort of thing. It's horrible, isn't it? You don't want to drink that. And yet, many Christians drink in the dodgy milk that's being pumped out all the time. It's particularly easy to get hold of on the internet. There's some great stuff there, but there's some really dodgy stuff, and people just drink it in. Some will tell you on the internet that if you come to Jesus, you'll become rich. Others will distract you by going on and on about how they know when Jesus is going to come back, even though Jesus said himself, no one knows the time. Others will say that if you've got enough faith, then you'll always be healed. And others will tell you that, you know, if you need to work your way to heaven through doing this and doing that and taking the mass and good works. And that, my friends, is gone off milk. We need the pure stuff. One of the reasons I keep asking us to have a Bible in front of us in church, I love to see that, is so that we can go back to the source, right? We can get the pure stuff. We can make sure it's the pure stuff. You don't want to hear my words. You really don't. You don't want my thoughts getting mixed up. You know, my job as a preacher is not to come up with anything. It's to serve up what's here. I'm not a cow. I'm a milkman. Yeah? I don't come up with the milk. I just bring it to you. And the only reason I'm up here is just because I've spent quite a few hours this week drinking it in myself so I can serve it up. That's the only reason I'm here. Got no special hotline with God, no special extra truth that I can give you. I'm just a milkman. I can just imagine, I don't know, someone like Barbara Wingrove or maybe Natasha up in the balcony. If I started just spewing out my own ideas, shouting, give us the milk! We need the milk! Or if I just gave you a sort of eight-minute little sermonette, as some churches have done, as I guess just because the appetite of the church has shrunk down, and so the ministers just go, I don't know, I'll just try and get 8 minutes in, I sympathize. But I can imagine if I did that here, I don't know, Hayden would be shouting out, that's just a starter. Give us some more. We're hungry. I love the appetite of the church here. We want the pure stuff. Now, when we talk about the Bible, I want to very briefly underline three convictions that we have at the tab because we take them from Jesus. How did Jesus view the Bible, and therefore how must every person who follows Jesus? Number one, authoritative, by which I mean it's given the top position above our feelings, church traditions, this is how we do it around here, above our reasons. Now, how do we know that Jesus actually had that sort of position, authoritative? Well, for one example, here's Matthew 19, where some people came to Jesus and they asked him a question, a complicated question about marriage. And Jesus, you can see there, replies, "Haven't you read?" So he responds by quoting a bit of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, thousands of years before. And he doesn't say, "Well, I think that's, you know, this is out of date and it needs updating. It's no longer relevant. It probably can't cope with these modern complicated questions that we're asking." He says, "What is written?" And that's the end of the argument. Jesus thinks that the Bible gives the authoritative answer because it gives God's answer. Now, people often respond to that by saying, "Well, but the Bible was written by people." And that's true. But as Peter's second letter puts it, those prophets were carried along by the Holy Spirit and therefore spoke from God. Or as Jesus said, the Spirit of truth will guide you, the apostles in particular, into all truth. So that in a unique way, God spoke through them. It's authoritative. And so in Mark 7, Jesus tells off the Pharisees. He says, "We mustn't set aside the commands of God in order to observe our own traditions or ideas or follow our own feelings or anything like that." It's authoritative. What does that mean? It means we don't stand over it like this. We certainly don't do that. We don't go alongside it. Just, well, you know, in discussion. I'm in discussion. We sit under it in submission. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. We obey the truth. That's conviction one, okay? Here's the second conviction, that the Bible is understandable. It's by which I mean that any one of us can actually really hear what God has to say and we can understand it. Jesus, of course, knew that people could get the Bible wrong. Here's one example from John 5. You can get the Bible wrong. And Peter says in his second letter that there are some things that are written that are hard to understand. We need God's help and we need one another. We've got to think hard and we use the context. But here's the thing, it is possible to understand because God is a good communicator. And if he wants to speak to us, then he can. Now, many people today question that. They say, "Well, it's all a matter of interpretation. And, you know, we can't really know what the Bible writers were saying because it was such a long time ago. And we have to decide what is true for us." You heard that sort of thing? Think at its worst, that is a strategy for simply keeping this closed and putting a gag on God so that we don't have to listen to him and so that God can't challenge us or say anything we don't like or even lead his church at all. And this is exactly what the bishops of the Church of England last year did as they redefined marriage. See, the Bible teaches that Christian marriage is between one man and one woman. And that's been understood by Christians all around the world and through all the centuries because it's understandable. But the bishop said, "Well, we can't really understand this. It's not really clear." And in fact, they never even opened it in the discussions. Jesus taught that we can understand and we must, which is why he took time to actually teach people from children to the uneducated to professors. And just look at this. This is a helpful verse. Matthew 9:13. Jesus said, "Go and learn what is meant." He must have assumed you could, right? The Bible's understandable because God is a good communicator. Of course, we have to work hard at it and pray and learn together and so on. Third conviction, that the Bible is life-giving. And this is where we come back to our passage. So let's keep 1 Peter open. Mine's closed up, so I'm going to open it again. It's life-giving. Do you see that in chapter 1, verse 23? You have been born again. How? Through the living and enduring Word of God. You first came alive to God through His Word, the Bible. Now, that might have been as a verse just suddenly cut right into you. I think it was Phil Cook who, was it Exodus 3? The place that you are standing is holy ground, Phil heard. And he was converted. I wonder if you've had a moment like that. But it might be, in fact, the work of the Word of God in another Christian that shone out to you. And you just saw something remarkable, but it was still the Word of God. Or maybe you say, well, actually, no. For me, it was in a worship meeting. And, I was just really stirred. But it was still the Word of God through those. It wasn't the beautiful music. It was God speaking through some wonderful lyrics. That song we just sang. My Lord, what love is this? It comes from here, doesn't it? We first come alive to God through the Bible. Which means that if you're not a Christian here today, it's just great to have you with us. Well, keep coming. Put yourself in the way of God's word. God wants to meet you here, just like he has met us. And we're starting a little Sunday afternoon Bible study for beginners, starting next Sunday afternoon. And if you'd like to join us for that, please come and talk to me. It's how we start. It's how we grow. Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, that a person does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so our verse for the year, crave pure spiritual milk. It's life-giving. It's nourishing. It's refreshing. Apparently, a mother's milk contains a kind of personalized formula for their baby, which is really cool. So when as the child grows up and it needs different things, like its body needs, I don't know, more protein here, more calcium here, the particular vitamin, then the mum just sort of knows that and kind of just produces exactly the right formula that's needed. And if the baby's ill, then the mother produces the antibodies to protect the baby and then just sends them through in the milk. It's brilliant, isn't it? Well, the Bible's like that for Christians. It is your milk for every situation in 2024. Are you spiritually ill? There are antibodies here. Are you feeling weak? There is strength here. It's authoritative. Understandable, it's life-giving. Why am I going over this? Well, partly because if we're a member here, then this is right at the beginning of our basis of faith, and it's foundational for us. But if you're new and you're kind of looking around churches thinking, where should I end up? Well, this is central for us. What is the milk? God's word. Let's move on a bit more quickly now. Why must we crave it? Should we say the verse together? Should we try it? Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So do you see the answer there? Why must we crave it? Well, the purpose isn't so we can kind of say I've ticked off my reading. The purpose is so we can grow and we can know him. So that you may grow up in your salvation. What does that mean? Well, it means really all that Peter's been speaking about in his letter. And I just want to give us very briefly a few of those headings. Here they are. You can have a look at the verses if you want to. A mature Christian, a grown up Christian, is strong in suffering. Chapter 1, verse 6. They suffer in all kinds of trials, and yet with joy. A grown-up Christian is someone who loves their Savior. Chapter 1, verse 8. Though you do not see him, you love him. A grown-up Christian stands out from others. Chapter 1, verse 14, they do not conform to the evil desires that they had when they lived in ignorance. They don't follow everyone else but God. And then fourth, a grown-up Christian is secure. Let's flick this one up, shall we? Chapter 1, verse 18. A grown-up Christian is secure. They know that God has valued their life. Perhaps there's someone here today who doesn't feel valued at all by anyone. You feel completely worthless. The Christian person knows that God has valued their life higher than any silver or gold or praise or likes on social media or any acclamation that could be given this by this world, higher than any of that, for God has given the precious blood of his Son for us. We're loved so much. And so a Christian knows, chapter 2, verse 9, that they're a chosen people. They're God's special possession. And that is why, because they're secure like that, that's why chapter 2, verse 1, they don't need to slander other people, to run other people down. They don't need to envy what other people have, or lie, or pretend to be something different than they are. But all of those come from insecurities, don't they? But a Christian is secure. And what I love about the tab is that actually we do have some of this maturity, strong in suffering. Can you think of someone like that? Love for Savior. Standing out. Secure. Can you think of people like that? But I certainly have a long way to go with each of those. I suspect it's not just me. How will I grow up this year? Crave pure spiritual milk. That's why God wants to get us reading this. Someone said to me last week, we need to put ourselves in the way of grace. We've got to put ourselves in the way of grace so that we can grow. The second, to know. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. How do we know that we're not worshipping the Bible? Have you ever asked that question? We know it because we don't come to it for it. We come to it for him. We want to experience more of him, to taste him, says that verse. I don't know why today I've got lots of bits of props and stuff. Okay, so got some honey here. I can tell you some really interesting facts about honey. Of course, it's made by bees, a particular type of bee, a honey bee, from the nectar of flowers that they go round and collect. Did you know it takes 30,000 bees to make a single pot of honey? 30,000. And this I only learned this last year, that the way they make it is it runs through their gut, and it sort of, so the nectar goes through them like a little factory, and then it's passed on to the next bee, and the next bee, and there's like a massive chain of them, like a factory, and then the last bee somehow sort of knows that actually, yeah, this is honey now, this is the good stuff, and it puts it into a little container that's wax lined, so it keeps it. And that's the tiniest little drop, and then it's going to take 30,000 bees to make your pot of honey. I know lots of interesting facts about honey. That's only knowing about honey. How can I know honey? How can I know it? Got to taste it. You've got to taste it. Now, friends, it is the same with God. You can know about him, and that's a really good start. But you need to know him by tasting, by experience, so that in a sadness, we actually go to him and we taste something of his comfort for us. Or as we're looking at our priorities for the new year, we listen to him and we taste. We see how it works out in our lives. We're confused about something. How am I supposed to handle this? We look up and we learn from him. We trust what he says. Or when we just feel a distance, again, we come here and we taste his warmth and love. It's not always dramatic or emotional, but it is far more than just knowledge. As we engage with the living God and he speaks to us personally, it is sweet. Psalm 34, verse 8, many of us probably know, says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And I find that interesting because it seems to me that Peter was reflecting on the Bible. He was reflecting on that psalm, which is exactly what he's calling us to do as well. We crave this, so we get to taste him. And this week, Richard Brunton sent me this picture, which is, I think it's in Malawi, some men receiving their first ever Bible. Can you see how happy they are? Yes. Because they want to know and to grow. John Wesley, the preacher, once said, "Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be a man of one book." Well, third then, I just want to ask the question, how can we drink daily? Let's say the verse together one more time, shall we? "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it we may grow up in our salvation, now that we have tasted that the Lord is good." Now, we want to help each other to drink daily from the Bible. And so, just for the rest of January, the elders, and we've explained this a little bit more in the elders' blog, if you have access to that, would like to encourage us all to use these Bible reading notes. Now, normally, I think maybe just a half a dozen or a dozen of us use these, but for January, we printed 80. I just want to explain why. If you've already set up a reading plan for 2024, just ignore this, okay? That's great, and do what you planned. My guess is many of us haven't got a sort of firm plan, and if that's us, please would you consider joining and just reading through these notes with the rest of us. What are you going to find there? A short Bible passage, about three or four questions that are not too difficult. A little explanation if you didn't really quite get it, and then a prayer. 10 minutes a day. I know Jenny used it. 10, 15? Maybe 15? Yeah. It's a bit like the Advent readings, okay, if we got into those. Why do this together? Well, a habit apparently takes 20 days to form, and so if we do this for the rest of January, maybe it'll give us a healthy craving and habit for the rest of the year. And doing the same thing can help us to encourage one another, especially those who've never read before or who struggle or who maybe think, well, you know, I'm not really sure, you know, we kind of need to do this. And just to have us all doing it will help, I think. We may want to link up with another friend in church on WhatsApp and just sort of, you know, ask them, can you give me a nudge to do my reading in a gentle way? Someone can do that with me if you like. I think I'd benefit from that. You might want to meet up once a week in a coffee shop if you've got the time and actually do the reading together. This is not an exam. There's no guilt or failure. Let me stress, we are not earning favor from God by doing this because we already have it. We're reading to grow and to know him better. And the more we have that focus, as you turn up your notes in the morning and you say, Lord, I'm reading this because I just want to grow. And I just want to taste and know you today. The more you have that focus, the more you'll crave God's word. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let's sing as we close a song that craves.